Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo, and ladies and gentlemen, we've got a very special episode for you this week. John David Cole, of course, was on location at the Chicago Pipe Show, and what a show it was. He came back with stories to tell and some amazing discussions that we're going to be sharing with you here on Country Squire Radio. Before we dive into it, first things first, I want to make sure everybody knows next week, Monday at noon Central Time, we will be going live with our 300th episode from Missouri Meerschaum. We are so excited about this, guys. It's a blast. 150 years of Missouri Meerschaum, 300 episodes of Country Squire Radio coming together in what should be an epic, epic episode. For those of you in the area, if you're able to come for that, that'd be amazing. But for everyone else, we want you to tune in live, and you, of course, can get that information. We'll have the link up at countrysquireradio.com. And then, we'll be doing it through our YouTube page as well. So you can find it there. All right, so got that. Next week, can't wait. It's going to be a blast. Again, that's Monday at noon Central Time at countrysquireradio.com, live from Missouri Meerschaum. Now, without further ado, I think we need to kick it over to John David as he gets the opportunity to sit down with the president of Sutliff Tobacco. Take a listen.
Yeah, well, John David here on the floor of the Chicago Pipe Show 2019, and man, it's crazy and insane and loud, but I happened to have the honor of standing here with the president of Sutliff Tobacco, who was willing to give me a few minutes to chat about some new tobaccos they've got in the industry and some different things. But Jeremy McKenna, man, thanks for hopping on mic with me for a little bit.
Yeah, you're welcome, John David. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, that's great. Dude, Sutliff, of course, a storied name in tobacco making, a company, a name that's been around a long time, gone through some transition, but an incredible supplier of products now, both tin tobaccos, bulk blends. Of course, a shop like mine, the Country Squire, we get a lot of our premium blending ingredients from Sutliff and from Mac Baron, who y'all are partnered with. And so tell us a little bit about Sutliff and then what you do there.
Yeah, well, Sutliff's celebrating 170 years actually in business this year. We were founded in 1849.
A lot of people don't know that. That's incredible.
Yeah, the other thing a lot of people don't know is that we have 550 unique blends registered with the FDA.
Yeah.
So our depth of tobaccos that we make are huge.
That's a good stable.
15 to 20% of our business is private label.
Yeah.
So like your Seattle Pipe Club, Plum Pudding, Mississippi River, a lot of products like that we make. We're the people behind the tobacco. We have a wide breadth of what we do in Richmond.
That's so cool. That's at Richmond, Virginia. That's where you're based out of.
Correct.
Is that right?
We've been in the same building since 1954.
Okay. Yeah.
So just a couple years.
A few skeletons in those closets maybe, but you know.
And we have plenty of equipment that still makes the same tobacco for that long that's still there too.
That's cool, man. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, the old equipment that a lot of these old-fashioned tobacconists use. In my mind, I think, okay, what kind of MacGyver skills do you have to use to keep those things humming? But I'm sure they were made so well, you probably don't have as many problems as people would be interested in. But some of that old equipment, that's what makes the tobacco taste good. You know, it's gotta be.
Yeah, and we have a few cutters and a few other pieces of equipment that date back that far.
That's awesome.
And it's all custom-made machine parts when they do break.
I know.
Unfortunately.
You got some miles on those things.
You don't go to Home Depot and
buy
fix
that.
Something up, right?
That's hilarious. Well, man, Sutliff Tobacco, a lot of folks aren't aware that Sutliff is a Mac Baron company. How does that kind of Mac Baron, a Danish company, owns Sutliff in America? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, Mac Baron. Baron bought us 6 years ago from Altadis, USA.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so they're a fourth-generation family-owned company. Henrik Hallberg, the current, I'll say, owner of the company, his great-grandfather started it in 1889 in the same town as Svendborg, Denmark, where they're still located today.
That's great.
So being run by a family business, it's amazing.
And what's awesome, you've got the pairing of two incredible companies that are both well respected in their own right, and that's a fierce thing for the market. You know, it's like, man, what two better companies would you be associated with? That's good. Obviously, a company, a small business, brick and mortar like the Squire, we call and talk to folks. I deal with Michelle regularly, who takes really good care of us, and it's easy to get y'all's products, and we love blending with them and things like that. So, let's talk just briefly, like. You've got some new products that over the past couple days y'all Actually, today, I guess, y'all debuted, today. Right?
Yep.
There's an Amphora product, a Seattle Pipe Club product, and a couple other gyms. You want to just kind of briefly touch on those?
Yeah, so we did five products, one of them being under our family and names, which is Amphora Burley.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful Burley blend. You'll pick up a ton of chocolate notes from it.
Nice.
It's a ready rub tobacco. It fits well in the Amphora range.
Now, Amphora, was that reintroduced over the past few years? Am I remembering that correctly?
You are correct. The brand was owned by Imperial years ago, and I think it was the late 90s that they pulled out of the U.S. market.
Yeah, yeah.
And McBaron bought the brands a few years ago,
okay,
all their pipe tobacco brands.
Yeah.
And so once they did, then we were able to reintroduce their brands back into the U.S. So
awesome.
You get,
okay,
that's where you got Amphora, St. Bruno's, Gold
Claw.
That's
right, that's right.
Right. So those are all Imperial.
Great
brands.
Tobaccos, especially, for the price point. Awesome, over-the-counter tobacco, you might say, but you can find it at most premium pipe resellers and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so Amphora is the one we did under our name. And
okay.
then working with the Joe Langford blends.
Yeah.
With Seattle Pipe Club.
Joe Langford, the blender of Seattle Pipe Club blends.
Right.
Yep.
We did Wild Man.
Okay. Yeah.
It's another crumble cake format for
them. Nice, yeah. They're fond of those crumble cakes, man. Of course, y'all are too with your recent debut of, I call it recent, the Virginia Perique and the English Number 1 crumble cakes that came out. Those
really
have all been very popular.
It really seems like the pipe consumer in the U.S. is really, that kind of going towards the high end is really responding to the crumble cakes.
Absolutely.
And the pressing process in general, it just helps marry those flavors and mature those tobaccos. And it makes really great products.
So back to the Wild Man, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. So Joe Langford and you guys collaborated on that. Just non-aromatic tobacco, I'm assuming, knowing them, it's probably got some Latakia in there.
That's exactly correct.
Yep.
You hit the nail on the head with what that
no,
is.
No, that's great. So, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's why, I guess, when a lot of folks see a Seattle Pipe Club blend, the tin looks suspiciously like a Sutliff Private Stock blend tin. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they might just happen to be the same fiber.
I know, right? Yeah, that's great. That's
packed
great.
On the same line.
With full of delicious tobacco. So
that's right.
That's awesome.
So the other one really, I'll say, exciting thing of all these launches we did.
Yeah.
We put them under, working with Pipes and Cigars, under the John Cotton brand.
Yeah.
But they're called Double Pressed.
Okay.
And there's a Kentucky and there's a Virginia.
Okay.
And the Double Pressed, as far as we can tell, it's honestly never been done in the pipe tobacco world before. And when we conceptualized the double press, the thought was, well, is it just a marketing story about pressing a tobacco twice? And at first, let's do it.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
And being a small manufacturer, we play around a lot.
So, that's part of the fun.
So we took some, we got some really high-end tobaccos from Denmark, and we pressed them again.
So they were pressed, and then you pressed them again.
Yeah, so the way the products came is they're McBaron pressed, hot pressed, like a bunch of Virginia, cut it into flake,
that's
ready
awesome.
Rubbed it out,
yeah,
threw it into some C48, shipped it to us, and then we put it back in another press where we hold our cakes. We hold, 25 to 30 tons of pressure for 48 hours.
Nice, okay.
And so what ended up happening was really just, it was amazing because we really weren't expecting it to be so good. That extra pressing really matured and helped age the tobaccos and really meld those flavors that much more.
That's cool.
And so you're out of the two, the Kentucky and the Virginia, you're getting, there's no real product like it on the market.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about it.
That's great. Yeah, I was thrilled. Of course, y'all been torturing us over the past several days, teasing us with these Facebook teasers about, we've got something coming. You got to wait one more day, more day. Of course, anything you put out, we're going to be excited about.
Yeah.
And was thrilled to see these few tobaccos come out that I think are really creative, that people aren't, they underestimate the power of two things, time and pressure.
Yeah.
Particularly on those Virginia tobaccos that are just so full of, natural sugars and any other tobacco that has a nice natural moisture content. It's just incredible. you know, and so yeah, I mean, it sounds like y'all benefited from
definitely.
That.
I mean, there's certain tobaccos that, like you said, they respond better to pressing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and it's any tobacco that you really think about, you know, oh man, I should throw this in my cellar and age it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so,
right. Yeah.
So that's kind of where you start. Like, if you think you should age it, then we can press it.
Let's throw it under some pressure,
right,
see what happens. Yeah.
Exactly. And kind of speed it up for you.
Yeah.
So you can smoke it, you know, soon. You don't have to wait 3 years.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's
so we
that's
want
really
you to
cool.
enjoy it today.
So those are both John Cotton labeled blends, right? And they're available from pipesandcigars.com.
Correct.
And then what are the names of the blends again?
It's John Cotton Double Press, Virginia, okay, and Kentucky.
Okay, so there's two double press blends, Virginia and Kentucky.
Correct.
And so be sure to look for those.
Yeah, and the fifth one was just, it's another Bengal Slices.
Yeah.
So it's Bengal Slices White.
Yeah, okay, great. It's hard to keep Bengal Slices in my shop, man. You give me more homework to do. Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Good
for
problem
both
to have.
Yeah,
no, that's right. Bengal Slices are great. If you haven't tried them, they're really good. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was that really was a collaboration with Russ Olette with Pipes and Cigars, their master blender.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to extend the Bengal Slices line because it had a lot of great success, especially over the last, I'd say, 12 to 18 months.
Oh yeah.
It really gained in popularity, and so we worked with them to develop a really good blend that I don't think anybody would be disappointed in.
That's awesome.
You know, that's one thing when I said before we had 550 blends, you being a retailer, when you look at our price list, you know we only put like 200 on there.
Yeah, and it's still a little overwhelming, but you know.
Well, we don't
there's
put
a
all,
lot of good options, though, that's
for sure.
We don't
put all 550 and we kind of keep a few in our back pocket.
Yeah.
So the good part is we register with the FDA.
Yeah.
We submit our ingredients. But then we can do special projects that nobody's seen before.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. To have that, you know, that just bucket of things you can kind of pull from, both, you know, historically and things that are once were popular and then aren't, but maybe have some legs in the future kind of thing. That's good.
And for us, it's really been beneficial just for the fact, again, 170 years, right?
So, yeah. It's a lot of history to pull from.
Right,
yeah.
And so now, and we have the McBaron to pull from too, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I mean, so when you have the two together and then you come under the confines of the FDA,
right,
where I can't develop a new blend now.
Right.
So I have to dig deep in what we have registered and then say, okay, should it be introduced as just a loose tobacco? Is it something that would do well pressing?
Yeah.
And then we come up with a strategy to come to market.
That's
right?
Great.
I mean,
so that's a nice segue. We'll just kind of briefly touch on this because, you know, this is the kind of the poo in the punch bowl maybe, but, you know, to talk about the regulatory stuff. But, you know, so obviously a lot's changed in the past, you know, 3 years, I guess, because of that. And so you've had to become a real expert on this to keep a company even as, you know, stable and respected as Sutliff on its toes, right? I mean, that's what has that been like for you?
It's been challenging, to say the least. I mean, we're fortunate to have great industry partners and trade organizations that we're members of the majority of them. We try and work together, pull our resources. We hire lawyers together. We hold conferences.
Yeah.
We meet with the FDA together.
That's good.
To try and, you know, the Pipe Tobacco Council is a big one that we're part of. And so that way we try and speak as a body of pipe tobacco manufacturers.
Yeah.
So we're not speaking as an individual company. We're going to the FDA and saying, hey, this is what the pipe tobacco community needs from you or how we want to work together.
I get the sense, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the sense that because pipe smoking is so much smaller than it was 35 years ago, that the bureaucrats and regulators just don't really know much about us. Like, is that an understatement?
That would be a drastic understatement.
Yeah, I mean, they just kind of, they look at us and they're like, people still do that? Huh?
So, I'll say it's a funny story. You'll be the judge of that.
Right.
But, so, we submitted some grandfather applications to the FDA, which is a process just where they agree that your product was on the market in 07. And, I get questions back because they're used to seeing them for cigarettes or for chewing tobacco.
Right, or so even vaping stuff.
Well, they haven't submitted grandfather requests because none are grandfathered.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I guess that's right. Okay.
So the people that review those are used to seeing, you know, a box of tobacco or cigarettes, 20 cigarettes, right? So we send up these and it's a 1 pound bag of tobacco.
Right.
And the questions I get back is, did you mean a plastic bag?
What are we thinking, like a burlap sack or something?
Yeah.
Like,
and you kind of pause on how to respond, right? You
have
to
sure.
Wait, no, I need to write a formal professional letter back to that.
Right, exactly. You know? Right. This is a government regulator we're talking to.
It was a real question.
Right. That's right. And that, you know, that's right. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. You want to respond to that with grace and tact, but it's an odd thing you find yourself in. These regulations, obviously, they're very they're muddy, and we don't know what they mean a lot of times. You probably don't know what they mean half the times, and even the regulator, they're still kind of figuring out what they meant by them as well. And so, what are the next steps as far as this goes? I mean, is there something that's about to change because they say, okay, you've got this deadline to meet or something
nature? Actually, potentially. I mean, the first deadline we had to meet was a straightforward deadline. Register your products.
Yeah.
Right? And submit pictures of your labels. Like, okay, that's pretty straightforward.
And that's when you come to the table with the 70 years of different blends or different things that you have, I guess. Is
yeah,
that right?
I registered almost 1,800.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay,
so
good.
Then the next step was ingredient listing. Again, just list your ingredients. So that's unique blends, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
Whether you sell it, and when we registered 1,800, that's if you sell bulk like we do, an ounce and a half, 8 ounce, or pound.
Right.
Like, that's three products for the initial registration, but for blend registration, that's one. Right?
Yeah.
So that's how we go from like 1,800 to 550.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then the next step, which they've pushed the deadline again, which is really good, is what they call HPHC, harmful and potentially harmful constituent testing.
Okay.
Which would be like nicotine testing, things along those lines.
Okay. Okay.
And they don't have any guidance on what they want us to test yet.
Okay.
And so at some point, having all those blends, they all don't sell that well, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, some sell great, some we don't even sell.
Yeah, sure.
So depending on when they come out with that exact regulation and what that testing is, then a cost comes with it.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So that in and of itself could have us saying, okay, hey, it's $2,500 a blend.
Yeah.
Is one estimate, right?
Yeah.
But it's all a guess at this point.
Yeah.
So at some point, you'll have to cut some blends.
Yeah, okay. Is this particular blend worth it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Is it, you know, small companies will have to make those decisions. Big companies will have to make those decisions, and all in between.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that deadline is up in the air right now because it's the way they rewrote it was once they give us specific guidance, then we have 6 months to comply.
Okay.
So it's an indefinite date at this point. And then the other regulation is your substantially equivalent in pre-market tobacco applications.
Right, right.
You know, because what they said
was... Yeah, people always taught, you see in the news, the substantial equivalent and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So what they said was when they came out and applied the deeming regulations to the OTP category, which obviously pipe tobacco is part of it,
yeah,
right?
Sure, sure.
What they said was, hey, if your product's on the market in February 15, 2007, and you haven't changed anything since then, no problem.
Right.
Like, you're good.
Right.
Now, if you've changed anything or it wasn't on the market before 2016, right, you have to, there's two pathways to market, the substantial equivalent or pre-market tobacco application.
Okay. Okay.
So there was some articles when it first came out, like in the Wall Street Journal or somewhere, that had estimated pre-market tobacco applications almost at $2 million a blend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So needless to say, we won't be doing any of those.
Yeah.
But what it'll mean is all the products we that came on the market between 07 and 16.
And 16, right.
At some point, we need to file for SE, like a substantially equivalent application, with the deadlines 2021 now.
Okay.
Or remove it from the market.
Okay.
So that's another time in date and
that,
place.
That's another benchmark that you'll have to figure out, okay, we'll, you know.
Yeah, all of us OTP manufacturers have to decide how to handle it as it comes.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
And what's worth it and all that. So to be clear as we can be, I mean, obviously, because there's so much unknowns. A lot of this is still being litigated and everything else. But, you know, if you wanted to create a new tobacco and bring it to market today, okay, so let's say we've got a listener that's like, I'm going to go open up a tobacco manufacturer company because I've got some great ideas about blends. What you would have to do is really... just perfectly honest, very unrealistic. I mean, it's
financially limiting. I mean, meaning that every blend you blended unique is going to cost you, I mean, even on the low end, $200,000 to $2 million.
Right, right.
And the traditional pipe tobacco market,
that's,
you know,
right,
as a brick and mortar,
yeah,
is a very niche market.
It is.
Days.
It is.
And so there's, yeah, no ROI on any blend.
Anything that makes that make sense.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Unless you're one of these, you know, hot air balloon billionaires, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it that's tough, right? And so that's why, you know, I guess it's important, as we talked about earlier, that a company like Sutliff has such a broad, you know, stable to pull from of historical blends, and that's because those are things that can keep it interesting going into the future. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of the fun part of the, you know, hobby is that there's so many different tobaccos to try.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, part of that fun part of the hobby in the past, before the FDA, was, oh, what's coming out next? What's coming out next?
Exactly, right, right. Everyone always wants to know what's new. What's
right,
new?
And yeah, not that you can smoke everything that's even on the market today, but you're still looking for the what's,
yeah,
next, what's,
sure,
new.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're really working with different partners throughout the industry.
That's good.
Through private label, through different things to take blends to,
that's good,
to, you know, relaunch old blends, to press them, to,
yeah,
double press them.
Well, and one thing we, you know, got some relief on as brick and mortar folks, you know, and I don't think there's any argument about this. I think it's relatively clear, is, you know, that maybe we can still blend in-house under certain circumstances, you know. It seemed like the court might have given us some relief on that front. Is that kind of what you understand?
I think that's definitely the interpretation that's been taken by,
yeah,
the brick and mortars. And
yeah,
I find it hard to believe that the FDA is ever going to get around to,
yeah,
even trying to decide, enforce it, to even say yes or no.
Yeah, yeah.
If they did, it would just be crazy because,
yeah,
you know, under the OTP and the deeming regs, I mean, you know, ends/vape devices are,
yeah,
over there.
Exactly.
You know, let alone all your cigarillos.
Man.
You know, before you even think about,
woo,
talking about, you know, and hookah and,
yeah,
you know, and then just premium cigars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's pipe tobacco.
Right, right.
You know, so, you know, if they come to your store and want to get on you about,
yeah,
something you're doing that, quite honestly, is probably legal, like,
yeah,
I don't see that really happening.
Yeah, I think it is legal. I mean, at least that's our interpretation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I said, I mean, the FDA, good luck.
It's a fluid situation.
Yeah,
yeah, it really is. And so we'll see how it continues to evolve. But at least there's a pathway forward, which we're happy about. And of course, we're thrilled for y'all to come out with these double pressed tobaccos, which can't wait to try, man. Really can't,
yeah,
wait. So,
yeah,
available immediately? Is that
no,
right?
I think their launch date is around June 1.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you right now, the factory is literally slicing and,
yeah,
pressing and,
of course,
and,
yeah,
packing right this minute.
Nice.
Well, not this minute, because they don't work on Saturdays.
Right.
But
right,
they were on Friday and they will on Monday, right?
Okay.
So I think the anticipated launch date is June 1.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. So the two double pressed tobaccos, the new Seattle Pipe Club blend, those are going to be available through pipesandcigars.com.
And the Bengal Slice is white.
And the Bengal Slice,
right,
is white.
Correct.
That's correct. Okay, so you can get all four of those there. Look for those June 1st.
Right.
And then the Amphora Burley.
Is available now.
Is available immediately.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
You can get your first shipment on Monday.
Great.
Put your order in.
Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, no pressure at all.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
pressure.
Yeah, they'll sign
yeah,
the Squire up right here.
How many cases you want?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no, we'll discuss that after.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's great. We're thrilled, man. So, hey, thank you so much for hopping on board today. I know it's a busy show and kind of hard to take some time out from the table and that type of thing.
Yeah,
but we really appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you wanting to talk to us. The other thing I just want to mention real quick is last year, Richmond Pipe Club brought their pipe show back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they did it on a Saturday.
I remember that, yeah.
And then Sutliff decided, you know, hey, let's open our factory up on Friday.
Yeah.
So we opened our factory up. We had about 88 pipe smokers that came.
Nice.
We set up a whole day of factory tours and let people blend their own. And so they got to see pipe tobacco made from, you know, start all the way through finish.
That's
Here's what
brilliant.
Raw leaf looks like.
Yeah.
So this year we decided to step up the game a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
So on October 5th, which is a Saturday,
yeah,
where the Richmond Pipe Show or Richmond Pipe Club is going to have their pipe show again.
Okay.
But we're going to do it at our factory.
So the actual show will be,
it will
at,
be
the factory,
at the factory.
Nice.
And then throughout the day, we're bringing in Per George Jensen from Denmark, our master blender.
Okay, great.
Also, we're bringing down Russ Olet from Pipes and Cigars, their master blender.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be running blending seminars all day.
That's great.
And then also, we'll do factory tours again, plus you'll have the pipe show. We're going to bring in food trucks. Hope is in the evening, or 5, pipe show ends.
Yeah.
And then we fire up the beer truck, the band, and smoking.
That's great, so, man. God, I'm excited. I had no idea that that was in the works. So yeah, that's, no, that's
it's
fantastic.
It's on the calendar, and we're really excited about it because, you know, for the people that really enjoy their pipe tobacco, to be able to see it made and how it's made and
see
all the different processes and stuff, I mean, it just adds to it, and you can appreciate sometimes you know, sometimes you're paying a lot of money for a premium tobacco, right?
Yeah, sure.
When you come to Sutliff and do your factory tour and you
see
the handwork that goes into making it, you're
That's awesome. You know, I think that's why people like coming to shows like this, because they get to interact with the carver directly.
Right.
You know, and then you realize why your pipe, you know, costs $600.
Yeah. Because, the work and the expertise.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible the amount of effort that goes into that.
And so we think it'll be a great experience.
Yeah. Good.
You know, bringing it all. And the people, I mean, I think I've run into 10 people at this show that were at our show.
Yeah, wonderful.
And they're like, oh, we can't wait. Are you doing it again?
Excellent.
So
that's October 5th, 2019.
Right. Correct.
In Richmond, Virginia, at the Sutliff factory.
Correct.
So great.
Yep.
Okay, so if you're listening, be sure to keep your antennas up for that. And I'm sure they'll be happy to have you up there. And, man, that'll be great. So,
yep.
Well, brother, thanks so much for hopping
all
on.
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much, John David.
All righty.
Chicago, that toddling town.
Hey everybody, Bo again, popping in real quick to tell you about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Y'all, not only are they celebrating 150 years and doing us the extreme honor of having us come and do a live show, you know, we are big fans of the products that they make. Of course, I'm talking about the good, cool, clean smoking pipes that you can get from Missouri Meerschaum. Excellent corncob pipes. They've always pushed the envelope on what you can do with a corncob. Everybody, I feel like, comes into the idea of what pipes should be, and then Missouri Meerschaum takes that, delivers in such a unique way, and gives you such a wonderful, wonderful design and a cool smoke every single time. You know, my favorite pipe that Missouri Meerschaum has is the Country Gentleman. I've got at least three of these in my collection, and the great thing is they're so affordable that you can have quite a number of Missouri Meerschaum pipes for every single occasion. Hey, if you've got a Country Gentleman, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself while you're doing so. Tweet that out to us. It's a good way for us to retweet it out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show. Now, again, I'm going to mention it. I mentioned it at the top of the show. I'm going to mention it again here. We will be live from Missouri Meerschaum headquarters next week. Be sure to tune in at noon on Monday next week as we do our 300th episode live from Missouri Meerschaum. Big thanks to them. All right, John David still bringing us all the latest and greatest from Chicago. This next one's really, really great. I'll let him set it up. But be on the lookout. Sharp-eared listeners might end up hearing a bit of a cameo in this particular one. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to spoil it here. But for those of you who are fans of the Marvel movies, you know how Stan Lee used to pop up in all the different Marvel movies? Well, let's just say that our very own Stan Lee-esque person ends up popping up in this particular interview. Give it a good listen. Enjoy.
All right. Well, John David here with Josh Weiser with the Rango Cigar Company. We're at the Mega Center, sitting out in front of the convention hall, and it was good. We have kind of taken this as an opportunity to sit down and not really stand up for a little while. Had an introverted moment and sit out here in the quiet lobby. So it's kind of nice, man. Josh, thanks for hopping on board with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for offering to interview me. It's really cool.
Yeah, man. You know, some of our listeners might be like, what are you doing, you know, speaking with a guy from a cigar company? And let me explain what a Rango cigar is on the surface, and I'm going to let you go a little deeper. But, man, a Rango has been one of the premier pipe-related distributors in the United States for a very, very long time, certainly as long as I've been in the industry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our shop has, the Squire has done a lot of business with the Rango over the years. But some incredible, you know, of course, they do distribute cigars. But for the pipe folks that are listening, some of the most, you know, common, recognizable, venerated, you know, brands that you would recognize in the community are distributed by Rango. And so the folks, particularly Josh, are, you know, at Rango, are experts in the industry and just have a lot of knowledge there. And so we thought we'd kind of pick his brain about some of those different products and see what's hot and all that kind of stuff. But man, Josh, tell us about Rango. Kind of what? How long have you been there?
I started with Rango. It's been about 30, 31 years now. I started when I was 18, and I'll be 50 this year.
Nice.
So
you wear it well. You wear 50 well.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I can stand to lose a few pounds, but you know, that's part of the cigar and pipe tobacco lifestyle, I guess.
Well, you're from Chicago, right? Arango is a Chicago company.
Yes.
Is that Northbrook, right?
Right. Suburb of Chicago. Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
So those few pounds occasionally can help you get through some of those crazy winters. So, yeah.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's good. It's funny. Coming from Mississippi, you know, it was literally 85 degrees when the plane took off from Jackson. And then I got here, and the high a couple days ago was 48. And I was just disgusted. But the nice thing today is it's really warm. It's actually kind of warmed up a good bit. I think the high today in Chicago and St. Charles is about 75. So pretty nice day, man. It was good to have some beautiful weather. So
yeah, the weather has been crazy here. Just 1 week ago, Saturday, we had about 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And then Monday it was 60 degrees.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy.
It's just out of control. Yeah. Well, man, let's talk about the pipe show. Arango has a presence at Chicago every year. Obviously, this is kind of home base for y'all and your home show.
Right.
But there's a really good reason y'all are here, because you're interacting with so many people that are interested in the brands that you carry, and also retailers like me who, you know, you want to get link up with and promote your products and things like that.
Right.
So what are some common things you're seeing this show? Are customers seeking after certain items that are popular? Is there anything that y'all have that folks have a lot of questions about? Or
For those of you who don't know, we don't sell consumers. We don't sell direct to the public. We've been in business since 1932, so well over 80 years.
I didn't realize Arango was that old. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It very cool company to work for. It's owned by the Gold family, and great people. Obviously, I've known them my whole adult life.
Yeah, so, sure.
Regarding what people are looking for, people are really into the IM Corona lighters right now, the Old Boy lighters.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people stop by to pick them up and look at them and check them out, and that was really cool. We're an importer distributor for the IM Corona lighters.
Which is really probably the most venerated pipe lighter ever. I mean, I would think. You've got Dunhills and others, but I mean, when people think of a premium pipe lighter that is equated with quality, generally people think of IM Corona.
Yeah, and it's the Old Boy design, especially, has been duplicated so many times.
Right.
But IM Corona is really, they're the ones. They perfected it. It's really.
That's so cool.
It's very high quality lighter. For not a lot of money, it's less than half the price of your Dunhills and DuPonts.
And what you're getting, obviously. And, you know, they've got what's the warranty on IM Corona? It's pretty robust warranty, right?
It's a 2-year warranty.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, though, that they have very large tanks. They're all brass tanks, silicone gaskets, very high end parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that you'll need any type of manufacturer.
Yeah.
Type of service to it,
and of course
people usually abuse them and break them. And
yeah. I mean, you know, it's hey, I just ran over this Corona with my truck. Can you service it? And it's like, well, maybe you should get a new truck. You know, I love the finishes too; they're just exquisite. You know, you talk about the gold mixed with briar, the mother of pearl, all the kind of barley hatch work on there, that in the silver plating, and of course our favorite with the pipe
with
shapes,
the little pipe shapes
printed.
Yeah.
On there, that's always a favorite, and so just a really classic lighter that I feel like every pipe enthusiast at some point should get their hands on. But tell us, so many pipe brands that Arango distributes. Give us some of the highlights. Obviously, some of the most popular ones, and maybe a few that folks might need to learn about.
The most popular ones we carry, most of you guys know about Nording. We're the importer and distributor for Nording and Chacon pipes. Nording from Denmark, of course, and Chacon from St. Claude, France. Chacon is, if not the oldest, one of the oldest pipe factories in the world.
Yeah.
And just, again, tremendous people. We also import and distribute the Ascorti pipes. Those are all 100% handmade in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
We carry lots of other lines too. Recently, we acquired Music City Marketing a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and they had several lines that came with. One of them is Bucho Can.
Yeah,
you might know. You know,
oh, absolutely.
BC pipes. You know, and also
How do you say BC? I'm gonna let the expert tell me how to say it.
I don't, my French isn't very good, but it's a butch choquin.
Butch choquin.
Yes, or we call it butch chicken.
Right, butch chicken. That's good. That's good. No, it's funny. Imagine the Mississippi redneck trying to pronounce that for the first time. It's always a lot of fun. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Of course, those are old, very well respected, established pipe houses. Of course, Nording has been in business for several decades now. Eric does an incredible job. But you know that Chacon, that pipe brand, and now the tobaccos that are coming out, just fantastic. A brand that has so much timelessness, but also they're constantly willing. Antoine and his crew, they're constantly willing to push the envelope with new designs, fun colors.
Yes, exactly.
I love that about Chacon.
Yes, it's kind of hard to explain, but I think everybody understands that all the companies that we do business with in the pipe tobacco world, they're all family owned.
Yeah.
Rango's family owned, Chacon is family owned, Nording is family owned.
I love that.
Of course, Escuerdi is family owned.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you're not dealing with the big conglomerates. And we've developed relationships with these families for many years. And we've had these relationships for many years, just like with you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We all support each other, and I think that this industry is really, really fantastic. It's truly a romantic industry.
It is. It's a great way to put it, you know, really. I mean, and to be honest, I mean, Josh is very correct. Like, you know, it's very, he mentioned that it's owned by the Gold family. Like, it's very common when I call Arango to make an order that Linda or Corey or, you know, someone, a member of the family is going to pick up, or Josh himself, or, you know, someone that that's right there at the top that's, you know, I love that. I love that about the pipe community. It's it is romantic. It's very intimate, and you get to know people's stuff pretty quick. So.
You do.
Yeah.
And if you're a bad egg, people know. That's the bad part. It's like a small town.
It is a small town. You know, you get weeded out and shamed pretty quick if you wrong someone. You know, which
if you don't know anybody that's a bad egg, then you're probably. It.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's right. You know, come to think of it, I haven't seen anyone in a long time. I wonder what that says about me. Yeah. I might need to look in the mirror tonight. I don't know. No, man, that's great. Of course, the two pipe brands, Nording and Chacon, more of the kind of, you know, I hate to put these in different categories, but we think on the broad brushstrokes of their offerings, you're kind of looking at a, you know, that Honda Accord level of pipe. And then, of course, Escuerdi. The 100% handmade Italian, stunning, pushing the envelope, that real incredible high quality that we know from Escuerdi that has a long history. So tell us about Escuerdi a little bit.
Escuerdi was started by Roberto and Silvana Escuerdi, but Roberto's father was Pepino. He started back in the old days with like Radici pipes.
Yeah, yeah.
So when his son, when Roberto was coming up, Roberto was in his mid-60s now. When Roberto was coming up, he got involved with the Tinderbox stores, and the Escuerdi brand name was a house pipe for all the Tinderbox stores.
Yeah.
And for anybody, for non-Tinderbox stores, he made, as you guys know, a brand called Caminetto.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Tinderbox exclusive was Escuerdi. About a dozen years ago, Arango, we took over the Tinderbox wholesale division, which basically just means that Tinderbox brand goods had to be bought through Arango.
Go through Arango.
And that,
is that still the case?
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And that included the Escuerdi pipe.
Okay.
But Escuerdis weren't very happy with the few Tinderbox stores that were left in the country.
Yeah.
Because there used to be at one time well over 200.
Oh, yeah.
And now there's not enough to support the Escuerdi name.
Yeah.
So we went ahead and went public with it.
Good.
And that's been about a dozen years ago.
Okay.
And it's been really well received. And in the upper level, handmade premium Italian pipes.
Right.
Escuerdi pricing is kind of the lower rung.
Yeah.
So you can really have a beautiful pipe.
That's exquisitely 100% engineered.
Handmade.
Yeah.
That's right. Even the stems, everything's all handmade by them.
Right.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
And now regarding Caminetto, their son Tommy Escuerdi is now making the Caminetto pipes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In his factory, he does do some work out of the family factory in Cuciago, but mostly he operates out of Geneva.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you get to, I'm assuming you occasionally get to go to some of these places, is that?
Took me 30 years, but I went last year for the first time.
I went on a That's
pipe
awesome.
Workshop factory
yeah.
tour, if you want to call it that, and I was there for over a week, and I went to flew into Geneva.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Antoine Grenard from Chacon.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Came and picked me up.
Antoine's here, isn't he?
He's
floating around. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to talk with him.
I need to go say hey. Yeah.
And he drove me around, and I got to meet and see his factory, and we had a great time in St. Claude. And I also got time to spend with Dennis Blanc, the owner of Bouchocan.
Uh huh.
And then Antoine and I, after a couple of days in France, we drove out to Italy. It was fantastic. We got to drive through the mountains, and just you could just imagine it was unbelievable. And then we met with the Ascorti family, and I was very happy to be with them and see their workshop. And then I was even the Ascorti family took me out to go see the Gardasana family in Myra, Italy. And a lot of people might not know who Gardasana is, but I don't think people realize there's not a lot of pipe factories out there, and they're making almost all the pipes. The major factories that are these pipe factories are making almost all,
almost
handful,
all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's
exactly
really
right.
Interesting to see how that works. Yeah. It's also interesting occasionally when an interview gets interrupted by
another
creepy old man, can I have our favorite creepy old man who just interrupted say hey really quick to us?
Do you know that this is John David Cole, being from Mississippi, this is the most Jewish people he's ever seen at one time. There's two of us here. That's it. He only thought there was ever one at a time. But now there's two of us, and we're here.
No, that's right. That's correct.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
That's good.
And on top of that, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking long and hard because, I got a lot of free time in between podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Cole is really just a diamond in the rough. So you need to name, if your baby's a girl, you need to name her Diamond.
Well, my wife, and by the way, we did find out this week that it's a girl. And so we're really excited. But my wife has been referring to baby Cole as Lumpa. Lumpa Cole,
uh-huh.
And so we're thinking about running with that,
Or Bobby Sue Billy Ray.
That would fit in more with our culture.
Yeah.
That's right, and we want to raise her where she doesn't, she isn't aware of the need for shoes for at least several years. So yeah, and maybe.
Well, that's
until she
tries to leave the state once.
Right.
Now back to your normally scheduled program.
That's right. That's
Goodbye,
right.
Bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian. Man, that's cool.
I have two daughters myself, so I'm very
Do
happy
really?
For you.
Do you really? Oh, yeah, dude, thank you, man. We're thrilled. Yeah, it's exciting. And, man, actually fun that Brian got to hop in real quick. Of course, we pick on each other, and he's a turkey, but, big supporter of what we do. We love what he does, and he's been a real help to us in the industry. So, pivoting back to the pipe community in Arango.
That's a nice segue.
I know, right? Yeah. Of course, one of the more sought-after brands that you carry, obviously you don't just sell pipes, but you sell tobaccos as well.
Right.
I know y'all are now distributing the Peterson tobaccos are back on the market.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And so those are being made, I think, by Scandinavian Tobacco
That's
Group.
Correct.
Is that right?
And, That's correct.
We're
not exclusive.
Right.
For that
right.
for that at all.
You get those from other sources. But
yeah. Correct. Correct. We we're the importer and distributor for some of your customers' favorite brands like Rattray's and Wessex. And Robert McConnell's has become very popular, especially now
Absolutely.
That McClellan's isn't around anymore.
I feel like a lot of, since McClellan's left us, a lot of folks have gone to the McConnell blends, the Rattray blends are really seeing a renaissance right now. You guys also do Gaywith and Hogarth, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes, that's
correctly.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
Which just so many, highly sought after brands there. What are some of the top selling in the Rattray's in particular? And also the McConnell. Give me maybe the top four or five in each one of those.
In the Rattray's, I would have to say that's Hallow of the Wind, Old Gowrie, Marlin Flake.
Yeah,
those are probably the top sellers.
Yeah.
Very popular blends. In McConnell's, you know, frankly, that whole line sells pretty well. But they have a Scottish flake, Scottish cake. The Scottish blends are doing really, really well.
That's good.
Yeah.
I haven't worked my way through the entire stable of McConnell blends yet, but I'm getting close, and I've really enjoyed the ones that I've tried. So
yeah, they're very high quality tobaccos. They're made in Germany.
Yeah.
So they don't use your typical, you know, Danish additives and preservatives, but very, very good.
That's awesome. Very good. Yeah, I love all the stuff that comes out of those German tobacco houses, man. They're they just have a unique flavor to them or something.
I agree.
All right, let's talk about Germaine. Arango also distributes Germaine products. Now, one thing about Germaine is you don't have a lot of trouble selling it, but you do occasionally have a little trouble getting it. And so tell us a little bit about Germaine, obviously, they're, J.F. Germaine blends, and then also Esoterica.
Sure.
Give us a brief description of their company.
So within the industry, we refer to the Esoterica and the Germaine blends as Germaine blends, because that's who makes them.
Right.
It's J.F. Germaine in the British Isles. And let me give you a little bit of history about that, that some folks might not be aware. Originally, the Esoterica line of tobacco was made for Michael Butera, the pipe maker.
Right, right.
And he was bringing it in for a very few amount of retailers. As you know, the Esoterica and the Germaine tobaccos are made on, you know, fat machines still from the early 1800s.
It's
they're
incredible.
Using the same.
Yeah, I'd love to see them. Yeah,
they're
amazing.
The tobaccos are all aged perfectly. You know, as Robert Germaine told me one time, he says he can't believe there's such a demand for dried leaves and twigs.
Me either, but boy, we're thankful, aren't we?
We acquired the rights to the Esoterica tobacco in the United States, and that came along with the Germaine as well.
Okay.
From Michael Butera, he kept the pipes, of course, his own pipes.
Right. Okay.
And at the same time, we also took on the Butera line of pipe tobaccos that was made by McClellan.
Yeah, which are also fantastic.
Yeah, they
tobaccos
are fantastic
in their own right. Yeah.
So. The Butera
are those still being made?
No, that was McClellan.
So the Butera tobaccos are now gone. Okay,
they're gone. We are considering resurrecting them. We're trying to figure out how to do that because the FDA, is very difficult, and we have to be careful how we.
Yeah,
go about
obviously,
that.
That's reasonable. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Germaine and Esoterica. We didn't expect that type of demand. Let's forget about Germaine for a second. The only reason I say that is because Germaine is available all over the world.
Yeah.
Where Esoterica is made for us.
Made for the United States.
That's right.
Is
for
that
a Rango
right?
Cigar Company.
I guess I did not realize that. Okay, interesting.
Now, I don't know if other wholesalers or distributors out there have want to do it, but we certainly get requests from all countries to bring it in, and it's for the United States.
That's great.
And all the production is that's brought into this country stays in this country to our retailers. Now, what the retailers do with it,
you don't control that.
No,
right.
I can't control that. And you guys know it's crazy out there. And,
yeah.
And you know, I hear it all the time. I just heard it today several times. I can't believe this guy wanted $50 for a tin and $100 for a bag.
And
I'll tell you what I tell them. No one's holding a gun to these people's head to pay for that.
No, that's
tobacco.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think it's crazy, but hey, you know, it's
capitalism and all that. You know,
it's
buy low,
it's
sell high kind of thing. But
it's bizarre. It's bizarre. Where you know a tin of tobacco should retail for certainly, I don't know, you know, $20 if that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people are trying to get $50 for it was just made yesterday. You know.
That's exactly right. It is interesting. Is it me or have we been seeing a little more Esoterica released to the market over the past couple of years?
Well, as you can understand, we've been pushing to have more and more made.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not just like turn the machines on and click, you know, it's not like you're making cigarettes or something like
that. Yeah, sure.
The tobacco
this
takes
a
while.
This is a finely aged
right, exactly.
Product. Yeah.
Exactly. And you have to get the tins ready and the labeling ready. And it's a whole process. So it took a few years, but certainly there is a lot more that's been available out there.
Yeah.
However, because of social media and the internet, even if we were able... I don't know how much we're doing production versus a couple of years ago, but it's a bit more. But it still flies off the shelf, as you could imagine.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
It's just incredible.
Your Esoterica products that we've gotten a hold of, have shut down the Country Squire's website at least 5 times.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And,
I'm sorry. You're welcome.
I know.
Thank
exactly.
You.
I know. All of the above. Yeah. I mean, that's a wonderful problem to have. Of course, not if you're a consumer on the receiving end. Of course,
right.
We've tried to make all that right and everything. But it presents some interesting challenges when you have that much demand for a product.
Right.
And of course, it goes viral through these Facebook groups and things of that nature. And we've got folks that, have tried to bribe us and everything else.
It's kind of the consumer's fault, too, I have to tell you. They shouldn't take this the wrong way.
No, sure.
You guys are driving the market. The consumer's driving the market.
Yeah.
You're the ones who are making it crazy.
Yeah.
And of course, if you can't get something, you want more of it.
Exactly.
So you're not going to buy...
Old Cuban cigar kind of thing. Or
right.
Whatever.
You're not going to buy one tin if you can get 20.
No, that's right.
Of course.
Yeah. It's so true. Now, Balkan Sobrani is made in the same factory. Is that right?
Balkan Sobrani, we actually... Robert Germain had the recipe for it.
Okay.
And he had the correct recipe.
Okay.
And we commissioned him to make Balkan Sobrani for us. Again,
sure.
That's also a blend that's made for us.
That's great.
You know, it's funny because I had some of the older consumers come to me, and they remember Balkan Sobrani from the 70s and 80s or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, it doesn't taste the same. I'm like, are you comparing a 50-year-old tin that you opened up yesterday to...
Right.
Right.
This is a plant. Could you imagine keeping a cheeseburger for 30 years
that's
and
right.
seeing if it would tasted the same, from something made today?
Oh, no. I remember what it tasted like in the early 80s. And,
yep.
and you know, so...
I do love some of our more, annually advanced friends that make some of those comparisons. And I do understand, the ingredients in some cases were a little different back then. But, yeah, if you're smoking it today, a tobacco that was blended, processed and blended, 40 years ago, I mean, obviously it's a different ballgame.
And agriculture changes, of course.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about a vegetable here.
That's right. It can't be the same exact.
It's just like
cooking at your house.
Yeah.
The sugar and the ingredients or the flour that you use.
It's a natural product. Your
exactly,
mileage may vary,
exactly.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's really that's interesting to me. That's great. Thank you for hopping on with us. It's amazing. Obviously, y'all do cigars as well. Is the cigar part of your business? Is it about 50-50 with the pipe related stuff, or is it more just kind of all over the map? Are y'all heavily cigar, but just happen to be an excellent resource for pipe-related things?
That's a good question. Arango is the majority of Arango is cigar.
Yeah.
And we do quite a bit of pipe tobacco as well.
Yeah.
Not just with the brands we mentioned, but with the national brands like everything from Lane and Sutliff.
Oh yeah.
And,
We get a lot of our blending ingredients
yes,
from Arango,
and we
order from you regularly because you ship really quick.
I got to tell you. I think it's important, and I think some people have heard me say this before, that I think it's important that you all understand that the cigar industry has helped keep us pipe smokers in pipes.
It's true.
It's unfortunate it has to be that way, but if it wasn't for the cigar industry's money, the pipe industry would be very much different, especially in the United States right now.
That's very true.
So pipes... Yeah. Pipes are a small part of our portfolio.
Yeah.
Pipes are the number of SKUs, or if you will, the number of lines that we have is a lot. But dollar-wise and volume-wise, it's a very small part of our overall portfolio.
And that shows itself in, the IPCPR convention, our big trade show every year. There's a little pipe area, but it's nothing compared to the cigar mania.
That's
generally
right.
Premium tobacconists nowadays are going to be cigar shops.
Primarily cigars.
But then it's rare to find a shop maybe like ours that is over 50% pipe. I mean, that's the exception nowadays. Generally, if a premium smoke shop has a pipe section, it's kind of paid for out of the cigar section. You know what I mean? Because
typically, I would agree with that.
Yeah, there are exceptions to the rule, obviously, but. Yeah, so that's good to know. And we've got some friends in the cigar industry that have really fought for some of our interests on the bureaucratic, the regulatory level, and all that kind of stuff. So we are thankful for that. Yeah, and y'all carry a good selection of all those things as well. And I'm sure, you know, Arango being so old, y'all have seen the market change, you know, quite a bit, even since you've been there.
I mean, you've
been there, what, you said 30 years or something.
I started in 88.
Yeah. I mean,
were you born yet?
I was, but only a couple of years. Only 4 years prior, But, you know, it's, but yeah, even since then, I mean, think about the 90s, how the, you know, you had all these pipe shops that kind of pivoted heavily in the cigar selection, you know, to take advantage of
it. Well, yeah, you hit it right on the head. Of course, everybody's aware of the cigar boom in the early to mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yes, I was around during that, of course.
Saw that happen,
And it was really amazing. It was really amazing to see the growth basically overnight.
Yeah.
And what's funny about that is that you could still smoke in a lot of the places. So I was everybody's best friend when they found out I was in the cigar business.
Right.
You could imagine, you know, oh, you're in the cigar business because cigars were very popular back then.
Of course, yeah.
And then, of course, when the smoking ban hit in Illinois, and when cigar, you know, I was like, ooh.
Josh doesn't get invited to the parties like he used
to, right?
Oh, that's funny, man. Well, dude, you've just been such a great resource for me and other people in the industry, you know, because you don't just sell these brands, but you're also a student of them, which gives me a lot of comfort when I'm buying pipes like a Chacon, pipes like Nording, pipes like a Scordi, Wessex pipes. We didn't really touch on Wessex, but a great brand that a lot of folks don't know about, but that we've been selling quite a few more of lately because of the quality there. And so, you know, when you find resources in the community that have are well, you know, well sourced and well versed on some of these things, it it is comforting to know that you know, a real pro has put a lot of time into that. So anyway, I'm grateful for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Well, thanks so much for hopping on with me. Do you have plans the rest of the day? This is Saturday at the Chicago show, and so I guess you got to man your booth for a little bit longer. But what else other than that?
Just got to get back to the booth, and here at the Chicago Pipe Show. They have a Saturday night cigar dinner, and pipe dinner.
Yeah.
So I usually go to that every year.
You go to that too.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Go to that, and I might find myself a frosty cocktail or two.
Might find you a cocktail or five, you know, one of those. Yeah, no, that's good. I love the camaraderie that develops at these shows, you know, particularly Chicago. It's there's always shenanigans to be had. So so we'll find ourselves in some of those later.
Well, I wanted to thank you for all your help and support over the years as well. Arango considers you and your company one of our pillars of our foundation. We really, our forte is selling to the brick and mortar stores. I know online's become a big thing, but
it has.
That's not where we thrive. We thrive in you and your store and your customers.
That's great.
And a lot of, I made good relationships over the years with my retail customers and even their customers as well. So I'm available anytime for, you know, to the public, and I try to put myself out there now, and I think it's great.
That's really good, and I'm glad you mentioned that. By the way, I mean, thank you for having such a close relationship with the Country Squire, because you know, y'all helped us a lot over the years, even during some of our hard times. You know, Arango, even though, you know, we're sitting here talking with Josh today, if you're listening, it's most likely that you're a consumer and not a retailer. But just so you know, this company is very accessible. And so if you have a favorite cigar shop, if you have a favorite premium smoke shop, and you're looking for a brand, for them to bring in a high-quality Chacon pipe, a Buchocan, Nording, Arango would be the resource for them. They're really easy to get in touch with, and literally any smoke shop with all the right licensure could open an account today. So you may mention that to your local cigar shop if they have some interest in you know, diversifying or something like that. And Josh and everyone else at Arango can be a great help. So anyway,
absolutely. Thank you.
Dude, thanks for hopping on, and I hope you have a great rest of the show.
Thank you. You too.
All right, brother.
Thank
you.
Bye.
That's
your bottom dollar, you lose
the blues in Chicago. Big shout out to John David, who has done an amazing job. Y'all, whenever John David is on location, first of all, you know he's got the charisma, he's got the knowledge, but we all know he doesn't necessarily brag about his technical know-how. The fact of the matter is, he did a phenomenal job. And so I just want to tip my hat to my co-host. And if you listen to it and you caught it, big congratulations. They're having a girl. So really, really excited to welcome Lumpa into the world when the time is right. And very excited to share that news with y'all as well. I'm sure we'll be talking about it more next week. Tune in live at noon on Monday for our live show from Missouri Meerschaum. Can't wait. It's the 300th. Going to be a blast. And look forward to having some fun with many of you on that episode. Now, some of you might be listening to this thinking like, hey, two interviews, Chicago, what was John David doing? Well, he was smoking his pipe. We know this. But beyond that, of course, John David got the opportunity to speak to a lot more folks. And in the coming weeks, we'll be able to share even more interviews from Chicago with you. But until then, you can keep up with us. We got a big episode coming next week, and you can get all the information on that and more at CountrySquireRadio.com. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter, social media, all that good stuff. You know, I could go through the whole, you know, at Squire Radio, at John David Cole, at The Real Bo York, but at underscore The Country Squire. But it almost feels weird doing it without John David. It just does. But hey, you know what? We'll be in the same place next week. Can't wait. Until then, let's go have a day.